When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 80.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we give you a glimpse into the world of the biggest voice actors in the industry over a delicious cup of coffee. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know more about me, feel free to check out my website at andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have the fabulous Jen Greenfield. Jen is an absolutely relentless force when it comes to her marketing. She brings an unapologetic realness to both her voice style in multiple genres and her dedication to equipping her colleagues with the tools and resources they need to succeed. She's an absolute firecracker of a human being and one of the co-founders of one of the fastest growing voiceover communities in the industry, the VO Booth Besties. In this episode, we talk about being tenacious in an educated way, networking and client experiences, strategic marketing, and the origin story of VO Booth Besties.
And he's a good person. Okay.
All right. Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic. It's so good to finally, I mean, you and I have had intermittent conversations when we run right. into each other. We had a fantastic phone conversation, but to get to enjoy each other here and do a little interview to boot, it's great.
Thanks for coming on. So how do you take your coffee in the morning? How do you start your day?
6 months ago, Jen would tell you, tablespoon of sugar and a splash of half and half. However, I have converted to black tea only.
Was that like a health thing or like?
No, you know, don't even try to get into my brain and figure out how I operate or why I do
what I wouldn't dare.
it would be chaos. There would be drinking. There'd be Tylenol. You'd be like, I don't know what's happening. Straight jackets, probably tranquilizers. But no, honestly, I will tell you, I spent some time with one of my agents this summer, Suzanne Spaziani with ASPVO, and she was doing no sugar. And I am not a no sugar person, but like when I thought about it, like if I'm having a couple cups of coffee and I'm like, and I'm giving myself a spoonful of sugar, and I just kind of started going, I wonder if there's some places I can cut back on sugar. So it's a little bit for health reasons, but I just was like, where am I getting sugar from? And that was one of them. And I was like, let's just try coffee. I mean, I try black tea. And my husband was like, sure, let's go for it. You know, so we do. Now I still drink coffee now and then, but it's sort of my treat, right? Instead of the staple in the morning. And it's worked beautifully.
Is there like a specific kind of black tea that you drink or just like black tea?
That's a good question. I will... Usually no, like brand wise, no. It's a chai.
Well, I've been through like a lot of loose leaf shops, and so I know there are variations of black tea, and so I didn't know if you were.
Okay, yes, I'm not that invested. When we lived in Europe, yes, I even had the little. Do you have the little clipper thing with the net and the?
Sure,
okay, I had the whole, the whole thing because yes, it was loose leaf everywhere. It was fantastic. No, when I'm getting up at six, have to you know get ready, get the kids ready. It's a drop the bag and the thing and go situation. So, but I try to get something, I don't know, like organic and, you know, not going to kill me, but it's, I like kind of the cinnamon, you know, the spicy, the chai, you know, too. It's, It's fun. Sure. Keeps it interesting. It makes you want to drink it. So.
Yeah. And how did you get started in VO? Because I know you have like a theater and acting background. We've talked about that. But I also know you were like a project manager for a company for a very, very long time. And so how did this happen?
I know. I have done just about one of everything. I always joke, like, if you looked at, if there were any question as to whether I had ADHD in my lifetime, look at my resume and you'd be like, oh my gosh, like,
right.
I was a volunteer firefighter at one point. I've worked at the Home Depot. Yes, I was the project manager for residential home renovations for many years. Singer, dancer, fitness instructor, like just,
But you grabbed this and you just clung onto it, like VO, like the minute you started doing VO, it's just like, bah, 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 like
and what, that's what? How, yeah. And that's how I operate, but it's been really interesting. You can appreciate this, that timing is everything. I won't say my timing was great for getting into VO. And a lot of people I know are like, you're one of those people. Cause I came in right at the pandemic. I'm in less than 5 years, but have done national campaigns. I'm working on some really exciting projects. I speak at voiceover conferences. I offer workshops. I've got, of course, got the podcast with the besties, but I am a jump in feet first person. However, not without doing my homework. So getting into VO, yeah, I was a musical theater major my whole life. I was cast in my first opera at 7. I had a full ride scholarship to college for musical theater, taught dance, owned my own dance studio for a time, and then got married. That changes everything. Yeah. And started, and I had done a little bit of on-camera work, but I was primarily the singer, dancer, choreographer. That was my life. And so once I got married, now I'm moving every 2 years, right? And one of the things that happens for spouses in the military is we really don't have the option to get jobs, because the people at the base you're at, or certainly if we're overseas, they know you're going to PCS or move in a year or 2 years. And if you have children and your spouse is deployed, they know you can't come into work. By the time they train you, you're going to leave. Anyway, so me being me with my entrepreneurial spirit, every time we'd move, I'd just start a business, or I'd kind of do a see a need, fill a need where we were. So I've actually owned 3 businesses, sold 2 of them successfully. One I just let go. So I've always had that marketing sales business side to it. So fast forward, we are in San Antonio, Texas. The kids are in elementary school, full time, of course. And then the pandemic hits. And so I had done some work up. We were in Connecticut before moving to San Antonio. And of course, that's a great place for cabaret and theater stuff. Yeah. Well, San Antonio did not have that. I was in a local band and that mostly sang rock music. But I can't tell you why. I wish I could, but it was one of those things where I don't know. Was I listening to commercials? Was I scrolling on the internet? I can't tell you, but I'm like, voice acting. This is clearly what this is. This is anime. My kids are completely invested in animation. I was finally getting into social media and kind of just started bebopping around. And so again, I do my research and I reached out to actually some people I knew. Here's a little fun fact. Carrie Olson, very successful voice actor and coach. Her husband went to high school. They played in bands together with my brother.
That's cool.
How weird is that? So I was like, hey, so I reached out to Derek and I was like, Derek, I'm thinking about this thing called voiceover. And he's like, well, you need to talk to Carrie. So she and I had a little conversation early on. And then my friend Jacob, he worked for a radio station for forever. So I'm doing my research. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? What equipment do I need? So I'm a pretty fast learner. So I'm jumping in. I got a dog, got a microphone. I'm learning. So I was already editing, knew how to edit, how to lay tracks, everything. And then my friend Jacob, he was like, Jen, he's like, I do demos all the time. And not to the level that we're at here, in 2024, but also free. So like, I'm like, I'll take you. But no, he did a phenomenal job. So he put together a fast and dirty demo for me. And I just jumped in. So the kids now were at home, but they were doing digital or, you know, online. And so although I had to be present, I didn't have to like stand over their shoulder. So I had a whole guest room that had a walk-in closet. So I fitted it. And that was impressive, right? And I've copyright trademark on that word. And then one of my first jobs, I post on Facebook. I was like, I'm going to be a voice actor if you guys need anything. One of my first and actually best jobs, because it's been recurring ever since, was from a friend I went to high school with. So like it was to do the IVR for this very high-end international hotel chain called Rosewood Hotel Group. And in fact, just like not even 2 weeks ago, they're like, hey, Jen, we need, you know, they sent me more lines. We need to do the thing. And we've just got this ongoing. But it was one of those where like just jumped straight out the gate. Now, I won't say it's all just been like uphill. Hi.
Right.
Welcome to being an entrepreneur. But what I had to my advantage is the very fast backstory I gave you is that by moving all the time, I got to know how to meet new people and like fast. And then, you know, if I start a business where I'm at, I know marketing, I know finances, I know email marketing. I am very comfortable, like you, very comfortable cold calling. I don't care. Like, let's go. And of course, I wasn't super into social media at the time. And so I was kind of doing it the hard way, which I don't mind. So I'm a boots on the ground kind of person. And I think that grit, determination, passion, whatever you want to call it, is really what propels me to be able to direct market and get work the way that I do. So it was from there. And it was from there, as we all do, I started going, okay, who do I need to talk to? How do I now level up? Like, that's been my thing every year, is level up, get a new agent, get a different, you know, do a different coach, do a different demo. How do I grow my business? And so although an evolution, I'm a jump in feet first and make it happen. Kind of relentless. Some people, it's annoying. I don't care. I've got him. I know what I want. So.
And I want to touch on the social media thing, but like when you said you were doing a lot of research before you like initially jumped in, like where were you looking for information? Like where, what kind of courses or training or Facebook groups or like what, just
that's funny. Okay. Or yeah, no. So actually not coaching, because hi, I'm an actress and I have been trained and I have done all the things. What does one need a coach for voiceover for? Right. No, but we all, of course, we know that it's completely, you know, the wrong sort of thinking. However, no, what I wanted to know was, what kind of equipment do I need? What kind of investment do I need to make? What does the equipment look like? You know, at first, again, as you grow, you learn and you know more. I was like, I need to be able to do all the things. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to record, edit, lay tracks, just fully master stuff. So I actually was really trying to get on the technical side I felt, right or wrong, that I had the performance side. You know, but again, we all kind of learn and what the different genres require. So of course I've grown from that, but I was mostly going, okay, how do I go about this? What am I doing? And so I did sign up. I'm pretty sure it was voices.com, but again, you Google, where do I get voiceover work? And they're the first thing that comes up, right?
Yeah, no, I found out about voiceover 6 years ago from a voices.com advertisement that said, get there a job as a voice actor. I was like, I want to get a job, demos. I don't know what that is. Experience. Yeah.
So for me, it was, how do I build out my booth space? How do I, you know, how do I do the technical part? Because in my mind at the time, like that really needed to be the focus. Because I had done some studio work singing. So, I mean, I get it. You need to have a good space. I get it. You don't want to sound like you're sitting on the toilet talking into your phone in your bathroom. Like I already kind of knew that's an advantage that I think I had, was that I knew enough to be dangerous, right? Yeah. And so then I can just go. But then you start booking work, and then that feels good, right? And that right. that starts kind of driving, okay, well, if I did this, what else can I do here? You know, and so that's really what I was trying to learn about. And then of course, yeah, just once you, oh, and then I joined a Facebook group. And I feel like that was something maybe, you know, in the Google search that, you know, hey, join a Facebook group. And I joined a Facebook group. And that was also my opportunity to start going through, as we all do, go through the old posts, see what's applicable to me. What are the other commenters saying? Pros and cons of different things. And you can learn so much about Facebook groups. So
yeah,
that's what I did.
And so what did you start attacking first? I mean, I know you said you put a post on Facebook and then you got an IVR job and like just kind of put it onto the ether that, hey, I'm doing this. But like when you started direct marketing, what were you targeting first?
Products, companies and products that I buy. Because for me, and I've encouraged this, I even talked about it. I've done, when I do workshops or if I do little videos, I'll tell people this. My husband and I, you know, steno pad, like your grandma. And we walked through the house and wrote down every single company that we shop with. I mean, I'm talking like this pen says profile. I don't know who it's by. It would be the pen. It would be the Sono speaker. It would be Kraft cheese, string cheese. It would be the tent we buy, the ground cover, the socks. I mean, literally, because what better way, what easier way to start a conversation? Because that's people's biggest issue, right? With direct marketing.
Right.
What to say? Hi, I am one of your customers. I like, and then if they want it proof, yes, I buy these pens. These are my favorite pens. Hey, I shop with you. And I am also a voice actor and I would love to support, you know, what you do. And that's how it got started. And then of course, LinkedIn, my happy, happy place, is so easy to start finding those contacts and connections who can support those efforts, who can hire you, who can direct you to the people who can hire you. The thing that I drive home with anybody whether we're talking about social media, direct marketing, like how to begin and everything, is to remember that people, like, they really are nice. Like, people yeah. really are nice. Even if they're saying no, you know this because you love the no's. You have a game. I hope you'll share
that. I do.
That.
I love my game. Yeah. I love my game.
But people are nice. Like, I just have not found anyone, like, if I send them an email, either they don't reply, okay, fine, but if they do, hey, not the right person, you might try this, or hey, we're really not looking for anything, you know, good luck. I mean, like, I have not interacted with anyone who has just been like, can I, yeah, why are you calling me, and don't ever email me again. I've never experienced that. So I just find remembering they're just another human and they're nice and most people want to be helpful. I really believe that. I really do. And that's been very successful for me, is that I have had nothing but good luck with people sharing information and being kind.
And so how did you get started on social media? Because you said it was a hurdle initially. And right now, social media, maybe I'm just not making enough time for it, but that is my kryptonite. I'm great at cold outreach. But social media, other than like this podcast is like my one content creation thing. Yeah. So like, yeah. how did you like strategize it? Like, how did you?
That's a great question. So social media for me, so I don't know if hurdle was the right word, except that kind of that it was that go,
yeah,
go, start. Right. And so initially, so you talk a little bit about strategy, and my knee jerk is to go, no, I didn't have a strategy. My initial kind of way I was working Facebook and Instagram and things like that was, it was pretty loose. It was sort of, you know, if I thought of something, or maybe it was it was really kind of, Facebook is definitely more family oriented. And then Instagram was still a little bit song and dance and, you know, a little bit, yeah. It's just a different platform. But when I was like, okay, I need to focus a little bit more, I need to take some steps forward. start jogging and then I need to start running. That's when I did get a little, I got more focused. So what does that mean? It means on Facebook, I let people know I'm a voice actor and that's it. They don't need to know anymore. That content right. is not applicable there. They got it. It's my family and right. my friends and some select voice actors. So that strategically, it doesn't make any sense for me to just keep posting I'm a voice actor. So that is my opportunity right. to have conversations. It's my opportunity to post the funny thing, show the, you know, the naked picture of my kid. That's not true. Delete that. I'm kidding. But you know, like it's just a different, it's a different place. Yeah. Instagram is my opportunity to shake things up. And I've actually gotten work from Instagram.
I use it as a search engine.
Oh, and that's great. That is a great idea too. So, that's my place where it's like a little sprinkle of family, but it's more, I want you to get to know me. I want you to get to know Jen. Yes, a little sprinkle of family. Yes, a little, here's some traveling stuff. Also, I'm a voice actor. Oh, did you know I could sing? Oh, I can make furniture. And you know, and so trying to give people a little peel back the onion, right? And let, whether it's buyers, whether it's colleagues, get to know me a little bit better. And so in that regard, yeah, I did get a little more strategic that I was staying focused on really letting people get to know me. I don't, and I've talked about this before, that I'm happy to say I'm busy enough. It is very hard for me to be what I would call a full-on content creator. Do I put right. out content? Sure. Do I share other people's content? Yes. You know, will I periodically do a little duet like on TikTok or something? Yes. But I often ask people, I'm like, are you a content creator who does voiceover or are you a voice actor who, you know, sometimes does content? And for me, right. I am just happy to say I'm doing on camera. I'm doing voiceover. I'm got the besties and I've got a lot of fingers in different pies in a good way mm-hmm. that I'm not, although I have a presence, I'm not my dear friend Stefan Johnson. I mean, he yeah. does incredible content, but that's like mm-hmm. an investment of time. And
right.
I just don't have that right now. But when I am through Instagram and LinkedIn, I've gotten work. And it's usually they're seeing me because I'm talking about being a voice actor in some capacity. I got a modeling job. Because I used a hair product, a shampoo and conditioner. Yeah. And I'm not real big on doing a lot of tagging and a lot of hashtagging because that can kind of backfire. But this was a smaller company at the time. And yeah, I was like, oh, I love this new shampoo bar or whatever. And they contacted me. Their social media, they were like, we want to pay you. Will you do? Anyway, they had me do some different modeling things for them. And I was like, yes. So yeah. So I kind of, you know, I got the ball rolling and I also just try to be, I tell people like, be funny. Like yeah. people like it when you're funny. Like you can just, it's hard to say, oh, I'm funny, but I think I kind of am silly. And so like the one time I went viral on Instagram, I was doing a yoga challenge. One of my girlfriends, Julie, sent me, and you just never know the things right. that will blow up. But I have to remind people, this video, I think it's got like 2.2 million views. It's been shared like over 150,000 times. All the great things. And you know what happened? Nothing. Not a damn thing. So remembering to have no expectation when you go into, you know, using social media, maybe something will come of it. Maybe it won't. But it's a touch point too, right? Maybe mm-hmm. you don't have a website or even if you do, usually when people are looking for something, they're on social media. They're not like Googling, I need Jen Greenfield huh. voice actor. They're scrolling. So remembering that you're having a presence makes you findable, right? We yeah. hear that over and over.
Right.
And also that when they do find you, that yeah, they get to see who you are. I mean, one of the jobs I got, I've told this story before, was an on-camera job. And it was a big campaign for this walkable neighborhood called Cul-de-Sac. And it was a fantastic shoot. And I asked the producer and director, because I had callbacks, like the whole nine yards. And I was like, what made you decide to go with me? Like, what was the thing? And they were like, the producer was like, you are my first pick. But he said, we went to your Instagram and they said, we could tell you would be a lot of fun to work with and had really good energy. And so they didn't say, oh, we saw you in the booth with your head. We saw that you had a 416 microphone. They didn't say, right. Oh, we saw it was it had nothing to do with that. It was about getting to know me and getting a vibe from me. And that sealed my deal, which pretty cool.
So in reversing that, when you are looking for somebody and you are researching their social medias, like how much research are you putting into a prospect? And like, what are you generally looking for?
That's a great question to be. So like on LinkedIn,
yeah.
To be honest, I'm giving away a secret here.
Oh yeah.
I'm looking when I'm like looking to connect with someone who was hiring me. I don't want to have any mutual connections to that person. What does that mean? That means they've already been hit over the head by every mutual connection to say, I'm a voice actor, please hire me. And I'm just one more.
To me, that means that I found the right person.
And maybe so, but I want to be the one. This is my new philosophy too for 2024. I'm giving away something else.
Beautiful.
Just for you and your listeners, Andrew.
Aw.
We are now in a position as voice actors, like using that very example, for me to show up after 18 other people have already connected with this person.
Right.
I'm behind. Not behind, but I'm behind. And my goal in 2024, and it's paying off, I will tell you that right now, you got to get ahead of the thing. You got to find out what the thing is before it's being produced. You need to find out who's the new casting director, who's the new creative director, who's the person that, it's like, that's the only way I can describe it is you got to get ahead of the thing, because if it's already happening, you're behind. Like, I want to be the voice that they didn't even know they needed because they hadn't even started yet. And so I'm like swooping in. And so that's like my philosophy. So like on LinkedIn, yeah, I'm looking for certain job titles. I'm, you know, are they active? Do they post? Do they repost? Do they comment? Because there's a lot of people that don't. They just have a page because they're supposed to have a page. Again, working with people that align with my values, looking at companies that I shop with. I'll go that far, but like, I'm not actively going over to their Instagram.
As far as like a connection piece, like what are you looking for to like build that connection? Are you looking for something you specifically use? Are you looking for something you guys have in common? How are you?
The way I look at it, especially on LinkedIn, is we all have a job to do. That's right. And so let's say I really want to work for Kraft String Cheese. Things are called. Yeah, whatever. I would go to, first of all, I go as high as I can go. Who's the CEO? Let's be friends with them. I want to be friends with them. I don't get in the weeds with the messaging and things like that anymore. I am just connecting. And that is working fabulously.
You leave a note.
Yeah. We're not adding the note, blah, blah, blah. Because you know what? They're going to see my headline. They're going to see what I'm about. They're, you know, my job title. They may go check out my profile. They got it. That's the other thing. Like, we just think people are, I think sometimes we think they're dumb. And these people are pros. They know, they're like, oh, it's a voice actor. Right. Or maybe they're like, oh, cool, it's a voice actor. But they know why you're coming. And like, to think that you're going to say the thing or be the thing that suddenly they're like, oh, I don't feel sold to it. Oh, you're just connecting with me because, you know, we both have Cavapoo dogs. No, they know. They know it's business. So I approach things from a business standpoint. And that's why, and so when I, when I connect with them, it's because I know they're the right person to connect to. I'm not doing a lot of fluff and connecting with all these people. Like, I'm like, let's go to the CEO. I go to chief marketing officers, creative director, producer, digital media, like boom, boom, boom. Let's find the right people and not waste anyone's time. You know that. We don't, although, yeah, I want to have the conversation and that comes later. But as far as just like the initial connection, that's what I'm doing. I find them, I find the company, I find who would do the hiring, and I send them a connection request. And then after that, no, I don't do a lot of what college did you go to? And I went to that college too. And again,
that ends up like a chain of messages that, oh, by the way, we don't need anything. Yeah.
And we don't need anything.
That's a time suck. Yeah. No, I did that when in my first year, the people that I was looking for were e-learning designers because I wanted to do e-learning because I knew it was sustainable. And so I started contacting as many e-learning designers and I was just having these in-depth conversations on like, what kind of e-learning do you do? Oh, I went to that college too, blah, 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 blah. And by the end of it, they were like, oh no, I'm just a freelance person that works for this third company and I have a $10 budget because I'm trying to get my own business off the ground.
You couldn't have said it better. Exactly. So cutting away the fat, again, I don't want to waste your time. You don't want to waste, you know, like this is what I do, you know, that, hey, I'm a voice actor, you know, Astoria Redhead. If you follow her over on TikTok, I'm going to give her some
praise
too. Mandy, she does a wonderful job of, she just is very direct as well. You know, hey, I saw that you just did I just saw this new commercial. It looked awesome. If you need a voice in the future, you know, like, let me, like, just, we're just cutting to the chase because again, it's business. People know why you're coming, and for you to give a lot of fluff, it's just a waste of time.
And so she does something similar that you do where she will actually like build an actual spot and then send it to him and be like, here's what I sound like on your stuff for the future. Like, here's what I sound like working for your company. Yeah.
I have found, you know, I have done that. It does take some work and you need to be mindful. But the other thing is, you know, like when I did this Pennzoil, I voiced over a Pennzoil spot. Cause again, you need to make it also like applicable. So like just to go, oh, look, I can do a string cheese spot. What's the value add? So when I did this Pennzoil voiceover spot and it got phenomenal traction and I connected with a lot of producers and Shell and whatever from it, but it's because they had an entire commercial dedicated to a woman who owned her own rideshare business. She took care of her own car and it was like, woman, woman, woman. And then it was like, and it's a guy voiced over the whole thing. And I was like, what a missed opportunity. So my applicability was to go, hey, you literally featured a woman and it would have been amazing if you let me show you what a woman, you know, including a woman's voice. Cause now you're reaching the 51%, you know, having a guy, you just, you know, we're in a time now, I don't need to be mansplained about how to take care of my car, you know? So making it where it makes sense that you're pitching it. Same thing when I made my big push with Home Depot, because again, they always feature men with power tools and women picking out plants. But I was like, hey, guess what? Women do, you know, build and use power tools. And, you know, let me show you kind of what that looks like. So anyway, that's if you are going to pursue that, make it make sense that you're doing it. Don't just pitch them your voice. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you're going to go to the trouble of that. But it's a great idea. It's a great idea.
And with all of these different methods, like whenever you're seeing like a little bit of a lull in your business, because we all have them, like what do you generally immediately focus on?
That's a great question. I will jump in to do some coaching sessions, just to kind of keep myself fresh, but also I lean into the direct marketing, you know, even more than I would, because again, as we all know, you can't count fully on agents. That's, you know, maybe you're getting one a day, two a day from your agents, auditions. But yeah, it's during those times that I just find that I just lean in more to my direct marketing. You know, that's the other thing. Just, go, you know, not you, but people listening, when is the last time you checked your website? Like, I know I've had three voiceover nominations, and then I went and looked at my copy, like, about me, and it said two-time nominated.
No, that's something I'm guilty of. Like, and I was like, I focus so much on outreach that I'm like, wait, where am I sending them to?
Yes. Oh, that's even exactly. So yeah. So you're doing all this work, but so yeah, have you double checked? Because I've done this even with very established voice actors. You know, I'll check their LinkedIn and it'll be like, there's no banner. There's, you know, no email contact. I'll go to their socials and it also won't have, you know, current stuff, websites. So that's your other opportunity when, you know, just kind of the industry as a whole is kind of is, hey, is this a current headshot? Hey, do I have, again, all my copy up to date? Oh, I'm missing a demo. How did I forget to put that on my website, but I put it over here, you know? So that's another place that you can, you know, use your time advantageously, or just take a nap, because you know what? There's nothing wrong with just taking a nap. So there you go.
So speaking of your shirt, I know of Naked Jen, but I don't know the origin. Like, how did that brand, like, personal brand start?
It's not even a good story.
It's still a story I need to know.
So I was doing an advanced animation course with Lori Allen. Of you may know her from SpongeBob and other things, but and Susan Palio with Voice Tracks West. And right outside my door, I've got a hot tub over here and I've got a swimming pool over here. And it's an evening class, like 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever. And I was like, oh, I'll just go pop in the pool before this whole thing starts. And when I came back in, mindlessly, I just grabbed like a sundress, just because, you know, when you're wet, you don't want to put on pants, right? Because they stick. So I just grabbed a sundress, like a pullover, your swimsuit, and I just put it on and I just sat down just like this. And as soon as the Zoom starts, without even missing a beat, because that's how good Lori is too, she goes, okay, so Naked Jen's going to read first. And for a moment, I was like, what? And then I looked at, and all you saw was just from here up, because I just pulled this sundress just up over the tatas. And so I looked completely naked. And so the whole class just was like, oh my gosh. And then it was done. And then when she would text me, it would be like, you know, hashtag not naked right now, hashtag not naked Lori, hashtag, you know. So it just became a thing after that. But
that's cool.
It's, you know, but one of the funny things about it, I did an interview with Paul Schmidt, and I told him, I said, you know, Naked Jen, like, isn't my branding. Like, it's an accident. It was just a for fun thing.
It's a conference branding to me.
It's a that's good. It's a conference branding.
But you and I started going to conferences at the same time. So, like, that always, like, stuck in my brain with you.
So, and that's it. So people will be like, you're Naked Jen? And I'm like, yes, you're allowed to say it. It's fine. Yeah, that's so funny. But then, Alicia Bake, of course, who we care for deeply, she said, she sent me the most amazing video and I still kind of get choked up thinking about it. But she said, you know, we joke that, you know, Naked Jen is your nickname and you say it's not really your branding, but she said, it really is, because if you know me for 5 minutes, I bare my soul. Like, I will share. I hold nothing back. I mean, I do have empathy and sympathy. I'm not ugly, but I also am honest. And yeah, and you just, what you see is what you get. And so she goes, it really is actually part of your branding. And I was like, I like that. So I hang on to that too. So it's funny, but I also show you all of me. I don't hold back. So
that's awesome. Speaking of Alicia, how did the VO Booth Besties come to, like, what's the origin story? Because you guys have built an amazing community.
And
you
fast.
You really have. And really, fast. Really fast.
So, funny, the three of us, okay, so JT and I, Jen Tifone and I, had interacted a little bit on LinkedIn. I can't even tell you why or what it would even be about, but we kind of just knew who each other were through LinkedIn. Alicia Bake, no idea who she was. So, three One Voices ago, I think that's right, because we just had the last one. So I think it was three One Voices ago.
So 2021?
Is that right? I think that's
that was the first one Gravy had in the US. That was the first US one, boys.
I think. Then that's the one I went to. Yeah, then that's it. Yeah, then that's it. So we show up. And I, at this point, I'm like super active, super involved in Facebook groups. Like I've really got a good community already built. I mean, Diana Birdsall, Michelle Blanker, like all Liz Atherton, you know, of course, with Cast Voices. So all, you know, so I had lots of good contacts that I was going to see when I showed up to this conference. And Jen Henry was one of them. Well, so there we are, night one, we're all sitting in the that bar area, and Alicia, I'm trying to remember, she roomed with Jen Henry. I think maybe she'd done a coaching session with her. I'm not really sure how their relationship started, but she was rooming with her, and Jen Henry wanted her hair done, and she's like, can any of you do it? And I'm like, I can. And then Alicia's like, I can too. And whatever, we just were like, we can both do hair, and like this, I don't even know. We hit it off. She is like me in that she has no trouble talking to anyone and right. you know, holding court when she needs to. But for some reason, she'll always say, she goes, yeah, I was like holding up a wall, just looking at my phone for some reason. And she'll say, I was the one that rescued her and like got her back out and, you know, out into the fold. But we eventually found JT. But just, we just kind of did the conference. Well, the last day, it was Sunday, closing ceremonies were over, and we're up in that area where the dining area. Yeah. And somehow, some way, we had just collected this wonderful group of beginner voice actors all around us. And we're unique in that JT has been in this over 10 years. Alicia's just under 10 years, and then I'm just under 5. So we've collectively kind of got three different perspectives and, you know, coming into it at different times and different things like that. So first, I'm just telling, we had like 20 people around us. They were just asking questions, and we were like, so what worked for you? What didn't at this? And, you know, for most new voice actors going to a conference, it is like a fire hose of information, right? Yeah. Like it can be so overwhelming, and you're trying to attend every single class and you're trying to meet every single coach, casting director, agent that you can. And they told us, they said, we feel like every time we go to a session, the speaker gives you a third of the information or a sprinkle of information, or it's so high level. But if you buy their course afterwards, or if you buy the program and the thing, then, and we were like, yeah, you're right. That we've already paid to be here. They're getting paid to be like, why are we not walking away with real time information? Like about the industry. What do you casting agent want or casting director want? What do you agent want? Just tell us. And ba-da-ding, ba-da-da-boom. We got on like a Zoom call and we said, let's set up something. We didn't know what it was going to be called or, you know, anything, but we said, let's be the place where we talk to people and we get the answers, where working voice actors get answers to the questions from industry pros who know. Like that was the tagline. And the beautiful part was all those, they all wanted to come on our show. They all wanted to go, yeah, we'll give you the information, because the way they viewed it is, you're making my job easier. Let's quit wasting everybody's time. Right. When I, you know, you'll have one casting director who says, follow the specs, do not improvise.
Right.
So now you know, but maybe you didn't know. And so now we're telling you, agents saying, send me an MP3. Don't send me to your website. Don't tell me you're unique. Don't tell me I don't have anybody like you on my roster. Yes, I do. You know, and like learning these things. And so getting just down to brass tacks, again, this is very Jen Greenfield, where I'm like, just let's be honest and direct and cut to the point. So, and then in doing so, we were like, okay, well, we'll set up a website, just kind of a touch point. We started on Clubhouse, which if you recall, that was really popular at the time. Right. And it just blew up. And it really, we took the lead from the community. Our community was like, hey, can we have a Facebook group? Okay. So we started a Facebook group. Hey, can we now make this not just Clubhouse and a podcast? Can you now make these live videos and, you know, where you're just like what we're doing now? Mm-hmm. And then people would message us and say, hey, I really want to hear from this person, or I, you know, and so we were getting, not only were we using our own connections for people to come talk, we, again, the community is telling us what they wanted. And when you have community input like that, when you're giving people literally, again, see a need, fill a need, when it's what they want, they will come. Field of Dreams, they will come. And so yeah. it has really taken on a mind of its own. And one of the, you know, key things about it that stands out for people is we don't charge for anything. I mean, we're not, there's right. no gatekeeping. There's no paywall. We're not charging for this information. But as you know, even when you put it out there, people still don't use it. They still don't listen. You know, they still, and because there's so much information. It's not just the besties. There's, I mean, so many Facebook groups and podcasts now, all about the how-to and everything. But we love it. We love it. We love being a source of joy for people, of inspiration, and of education where people can learn. So.
And in that same vein, with you seeing a need and a lack of information and wanting to provide that, is that when you started to pitch to speak at conferences and stuff?
Yes. So when I, let me think.
Because I've been to your, no, I've watched the replay of your networking one.
Yeah.
I have seen that one.
So there was networking. I spoke at WoVo. I actually did two different sessions at WoVo. Okay. And they were met with fantastic feedback, which was great. So then I would have like my dear friend John Ciano over at Live-O Takeover. He's like, mm-hmm. hey, would you teach like a workshop? Yeah. So then I started teaching a few workshops. Then Paul Schmidt was like, hey, will you come teach a workshop for me? Got it. All of a sudden. And then I get asked, like Paulette Lifton, who is also a wonderful person. She's like, hey, can we get you to come on and talk about? So you just start again, if you're a value add, if yeah. you're actually providing information, you know, that it's applicable to people and they go, okay, yeah, I can use this. Word of mouth has a way of, you know, bringing that to light. And so, yeah, I've been asked to speak at different things and offer workshops, and it's been great. It's been great.
And most of what you hone in on is networking?
Networking, social media, really the business side. I really don't speak to performance, and yeah. I'm okay with that. But even beyond that, I think I know what my the umbrella is. Mm-hmm. Be you, be bold, take risks. That's it. That applies to networking. That applies to social media. That has to do with, direct marketing, putting yourself out there, making the connections, doing the thing is you have to be you, own you, know who you are. Be authentic. And then be bold, like do the work, figure it out. Who do I need to talk to? And then take the risk. And that is the thing that I drive home with everything. And remember at the end of the day that the person on the other end of the phone, on the other end of the email, who's in the other room, who's sitting at that table, they are just a person. Mm-hmm. That's it. And it makes it, to me, it makes it so much easier to talk to someone when you go, you're a dad, I'm a parent. There you go. You can be CEO of the company. Great, but I'm the CEO of my company.
Yeah.
I don't see the difference. So, you know, taking the risk, I love, expression. Oh, I put it in my article. I forget who actually said it. It wasn't Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It was actually somebody else. But to do the thing, even if your hand shakes, you know, mm-hmm. like just because then it gets easier. Same thing with, you know, networking, marketing, doing the emails, doing the cold calls. Tell people about what you do on your cold calling, because I love it.
The thing I do in the game?
Yes. Your nose.
Oh. Yes. So I, because the worst thing that you can get out of a cold call is a bunch of people saying no. So I started turning it into a game where my goal is always to get 20 consecutive no's in a row. And so if somebody says yes, then I have to start all over. I love mindset shifts. Like even direct marketing in and of itself, like it's thought of as a monotonous task. And
Right.
when I started my first business, it was a monotonous task because that's how I thought of it. But once I switched that into it being a scavenger hunt for my next opportunity, then that's when it started to become fun.
And that's it. That's it. Because people so often just get hung up. There's a fear factor there. There's
Right.
they put up this wall and they're just like, I don't know. I can't. Da, da, da. And you're right. I love how you said just having that mindset shift.
Yeah.
Where you go, because again, isn't it funny? Isn't it funny that you will cold call the auto dealership
Right.
without hesitation? Hey, I need to get an oil change. When are you available? How much does it cost or whatever? And you don't even like no hesitation at all. But yet to call
Yeah.
somebody else who you want to work with, hey, what do you know? Same idea, like. What are you guys working on? Do you need anything? And budget, whatever. Just you're still talking in the same terms, and yet for some reason that mental shift, we lock up when we're talking to this
When we're a
person,
seller and not a buyer, yeah.
but we're freer when we talk to somebody else. So, but I love your idea. I love your game.
Well, I mean, I love mindset shifts because I mean, even like when I'm having a bad day, 10% of my worst days are going to be every 10 days. But that also means that 10% of my best days are going to be every 10 days. So if I'm having a bad day, I just know that, okay, well, today is my 10% day. So tomorrow is not going to be.
And then I also have my joy jar. I
Oh,
don't know
that's
if you,
cool.
yeah. And the thing that I like about it too is I make myself handwrite it because there's just that thing, right? About when
Right.
you write something down, it ingrains a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. I can't wait until the end of the year or the new year. I haven't decided what I'm gonna, and then just what you're saying to go back and go, man, that was awesome. Like that was a great day. That was a great, here's 10 things that happened or, so I've been trying to do that, to do the joy jar. So
Is that what you do? Like, what do you put on your note? Like, what kind of things do you classify for the joy jar? Because you
you
can't
know
just
what? I
write,
don't
oh,
know.
you know, my coffee was good today. Like, you can't,
It could be. It
I mean,
could
it could
be.
be, but like, you know, like what?
Just get a peek. Let me think of one.
Just be.
Here it is. I'll share this. I
Okay.
put, let's see. My animation demo was nominated for a voiceover award.
That's cool.
And you know what? It goes in the joy jar. I'll put if I made a great connection, if I booked a job or just felt like I crushed an audition. It's like we went out to LA this summer with the kids, and my friend Scott McCarthy, who's one of the VPs at DreamWorks, he got us a VIP tour.
That's
And
cool.
yeah, and so that's going in the joy jar. Our family got a VIP tour of DreamWorks, and my son Avery got to go on the sound stage. And I told him, I'm like, literally, this is where Jack Black and anyone who has voiced for DreamWorks, I mean, this is where they stand. And he got to do a voice clip for Kung Fu Panda, and they dropped
That's
it in to the animation, so we got to walk around and see it. I mean, it was 10 seconds, I don't care. And so those kinds of things. Callbacks. I have
Okay.
gotten some really good on-camera callbacks, and they bring me joy. Like I know a callback is a good thing, right? Even
Yeah.
when you don't land the job necessarily, callback is good, is feedback, and it means you're doing something right. So all different things.
That's really, really cool. I love how physical it is. That's awesome. So, I mean, with social media and booth besties and networking and marketing, like 10 gens, like what I know no 2 days are the same, but like how do you balance all of that, like
That's
in a day-to-day basis?
a great question. My husband is convinced I have a nuclear generator installed somewhere inside of me.
Somewhere.
We haven't identified. It's probably in my right butt cheek. But all that to say, the answer is so I take Avery to school every morning. Eleanor takes the bus. I come home. It's breakfast, tea, check email, check LinkedIn. And then usually I'm in the booth by that point, or I might be doing on-camera auditions because sometimes auditions seem to come in the afternoons as well lately.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I'm also working on an audiobook right now. And so I need to finish that up. And so I'll give myself chunks of time. But yeah, so then I basically have until like about almost two, then I go back and get Avery. And then I am very blessed that I have a very involved husband, and he, you know, so he actually, as soon as the kids get home from school, he'll take them to cross country. He takes Eleanor to piano, and then I have the house to myself and can just knock out whatever else I need to. But I do intermittent. I will admit I am on my phone a lot, but dinner time, no phones. When I'm sitting, you know, once the kids are in bed and my husband and I might watch a show together, no phones, you know, so I do give myself, right, you know, timeouts, but yeah, but it's also just my way to, cause I get inundated with DMs, talent who needs some mentoring. I do, one of the things I also provide for some of my fellow on-camera actors is I'm a reader, and I love doing that. So when they have an on-camera audition and they need someone to do the, basically the other lines to talk to them, yeah, so they're not just speaking into the void. So yeah, so I'll do reading, and I also provide some direction as well. I really love directing. But anyway, so yeah, it's, no 2 days are the same, but I would say collectively they kind of function the same in that, right, I do mark out time in the morning, like eat, have coffee, because you know, if you're not fueling yourself, if you're not taking care of yourself,
right,
certainly at the start of the day, it's not gonna go, it's just, you know, gonna go downhill. I check in with my besties. I have some other colleagues who are just amazing touch points for me. If mm-hmm. I'm just, because some days, like you said, you know, I want to go under a rain cloud and I'm like, I just want to bitch for a little bit. I just want to bitch for 30 minutes, pull me out of it. Or maybe one of my colleagues will call and go, I need to just get under the rain cloud for a minute. And we all get under and we get wet. And then, you know, and then it's my job that time to pull them out. So I make time for friendships. I make time for conversations. But I'm just a hard worker. Like I just hustle. And so I just make it work.
Yeah. And usually my last question is, if you could write a letter to yourself from it before you started in VO, what would that be? And generally I do that to avoid asking, what would you tell future VOs? So that way, like it comes across more organically, but you posted something, you shared something today that really resonated with me. And so I'm going to switch this.
Good.
What disciplinary action are you putting into place toward the commitment to your future self?
Wasn't that video so good?
That was amazing.
Wasn't it so good?
Yes.
For those who don't know, this guy said his definition for discipline is actually self-care, because you using discipline, you are putting off you are saying, I don't want to just do the thing right now, the easy thing. And instead you're doing the hard thing so that tomorrow is easier. And I agree. It was keeping promises
to yourself. Yes, absolutely.
Keeping promises to yourself. Yeah, I forgot that part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just wonderful. Total mind shift. So, so the question is, tell me again.
When you look to your VO future, what mm-hmm. disciplinary actions are you putting in place right now so you can keep those commitments to your future self?
I love it. Okay. One is, because I have a very specific objective right now, mm-hmm. is to make sure I am properly trained to do the to reach this objective. So I want to make sure I'm coaching, make sure I'm right for this genre, for what I'm working for. Stay healthy, right? Certainly after conferences, we get the conference crud. And, you know, because right now I am like, I've got the pedal pushed to the floor. That's where I'm at right now. So those disciplinary things to keep myself on that trajectory. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coaching, keeping my voice healthy, Not staying up super, super late. I am a night owl, admittedly. And so I do have to be really force myself to go to bed early. Mm-hmm. Not to lose myself in all this, in the conferences and the besties, because we can overdo it. I do. I am a fixer. I am a helper. I want to just, if you've got questions, come to me. But you know what? I have to set some boundaries to take care of me.
Can't let somebody borrow bricks until you build your own house.
Oh, that's so good. I hadn't heard that. That's so good. So it's really, that's really where I'm at disciplinary wise, is just make sure I'm on track, keep myself healthy, and give when I can or when I want to, and not, and right. I do. I struggle with it. I want to help everybody. I do all the time.
It's the mama burden you.
I know it is. Oh, 100%. 100%. Give me a little chicks. I got you. So that's, I would say those are the three things. So that's a great question.
And where can people find you and your demos and all of your amazing stuff?
Everywhere. So
everywhere. It really
thank
is.
You for asking
every time
that.
I turn around, there's a Jen Greenfield. Uh-oh, you froze. Oh, no.
Best.
Hold on.
Oh, you're frozen, too.
Okay. Now we're good. Oh, now I can see it. Okay, cool. Right
anyway,
where I asked where to find you. But
that was fun. So where to find me? So my website is jengreenfieldvo.com. I am Mama Greenfield. That's funny that you would say Mama Bird. I am Mama Greenfield on all socials. Instagram, TikTok, and X, Twitter, whatever. X. And and then if I know you and I have met you, that I have some sort of working relationship with you, I might let you into Facebook. You're welcome to come over there. But it's I try fine. To keep that. Yeah, I have a little bit of boundary there. But so, and of course, LinkedIn. Hello. Everybody can connect with me on LinkedIn. I love it over there.
Thank you for coming on. This was a blast.
Thanks for inviting me.
I really hope you enjoyed this phenomenal talk with Jen on her story, her evolution, and her predictions in the future of voiced media. If you'd like to get to know more about her, you can visit jengreenfieldvo.com. And if you'd like to listen to the VO Booth Besties podcast, you can check that out at boothbesties.com. Thanks for stopping by, and I'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit vocoffeeshop.com and our YouTube channel or your favorite podcast streaming platform. You know you want to.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.